This podcast is made possible in part by patrons like you. Become a patron today at patreon.com/bingemovies.
Coming to you from the last video store in the universe, it's the season 6.1 finale of Binge Movies. Raised an entire generation of newly hatched binge lords. How do you raise them to understand the truth? The truth is very important. It's more important than it's ever been, folks. I don't know if you realize this, but we live in what could best be described as fairly dire times when it comes to truth. So I'm here to speak the truth about movies, the truth about the universe, the truth about your life. Here's the truth for you. You don't need any other podcast. There is no other podcast that can give you what we can give you right here at Binge Movies. Why are you listening to other podcasts? Why are you listening to your parents? Why are you listening to your government? Why are you listening to these evil corporations who are trying to take your money? Instead, you should be sponsoring us on Patreon, patreon.com/bingemovies. You'd be entitled to so much goodness you couldn't even stand it. And it's getting better all the time. The future's so bright on our Patreon, you're going to have to wear shades. And any old particular shades won't do. That's why I choose Blenders Eyewear. Because when I want unique fashion at a reasonable price, I go with Blenders. Go to BlendersEyewear.com. Use the promo code BINGEMOVIES. And you'll save 20% on your first order. And right now, they'll even throw in a premium, with a capital P, eyeglass case just for you with a sweet pattern on it. I just picked up my next pair of blenders, and I am so excited, I can barely contain myself. Anyway, back to what I was saying. How do we raise a new generation of binge lords in the truth? Because we've covered a lot of things here. You know, I'm just a humble home video enthusiast. I so much of my life was lived in an underground bunker at an undisclosed location somewhere in the mighty vertically integrated not Walt Disney Corporation. We, of course, have to say not for legal purposes. The nature of our relationship, it's tricky at best. Let's just put it like that. Apparently, there's many international conventions that say you can't hold indefinitely, detain people against their will, force them to binge and rank movies to acquire some kind of a ultimate list of entertainment that may serve either the global elites or the multidimensional elder gods. It's a very, very tricky, sticky wicket. So, in the benevolence of my good, gracious, kind hosts, as they prefer to be called, my employers, they decided in the middle of a once-in-a-generation global pandemic to ship me from my previously undisclosed location with my partner, my co-host, Pat, to sunny tropical Akron, Ohio, where we began to operate and manage a brand new video store in the midst of the pandemic. You go back, and we've done many episodes there. We had a Brendan Fraser Film Festival about 2 years ago now. This was before the Brendan Renaissance. This is before, check the receipts, folks, before Twitter was like, we love Brendan Fraser, we did a film festival for the guy. Multiple nights in a row. You can go back and listen to that. Things got a little out of hand at the end, I will admit. Okay? Did we leave the canapes out a little too long? Were there some upset bellies? Were there some fevers? Were there some local health ordinances that were not strictly observed? I cannot say, again, for legal purposes. The law is a tricky thing, folks. The law is a tricky thing. And that's what I've been up to. But, of course, the folks that I work for, my gracious hosts, they, oh my gosh, they have minds you wouldn't believe. The imaginations on these people. It's like engineering, but only instead of math, it's the power of imagination. We're not doing calculations, we're doing imaginations in our engineering. It's amazing. And they came up with something that I just blew my mind. Here's what they figured out. There is technology. Some maybe even say a little magic to the kingdom. And in this magical kingdom, where science and the supernatural are interchangeable, interdimensional connections are possible. We do not live in a single verse, but we live connected to a branching chain of every decision and micro decision anyone has ever made. The possibilities are endless, and so are the realities, and so are the movies that have been produced in that branching chain. And guess what? If you could, with a little bit of a slip of a hand, reach into, so to speak, the shelf, the media shelf, the video, the home video collection of an alternate reality, and bring it into this one, you've got a brand new movie nobody has ever seen, and you could sell it or rent it at a premium price, and who could stop you? Because all of our copyright and all of our intellectual property law, again, the law, we're talking about what's strictly legal here, folks. It doesn't apply to movies from alternate dimensions. So you may have the copyright for Look Who's Talking, where Jimmy Stewart is the baby and Tom Cruise is in the Kirstie Alley role, because in that dimension, Tom Cruise is a woman, but she still goes by the name Tom Cruise. It's very confusing, because in that dimension, stereotypical gender names are reversed. So guess what? Jimmy Stewart, also a lady. Closest equivalent, Katharine Hepburn. Our Katharine Hepburn is their Jimmy Stewart, and it's in the Bruce Willis role for Look Who's Talking. You don't even want to get me started on Look Who's Talking To. It would bend your brain. Your brain would bend into a horseshoe. Amazing. Amazing. The possibilities. I don't understand it all. I'm not a tech guy. I'm not a science guy. I run the front of the house, the basement, where all the magic happens, the most magical place on earth. It's not in California, and it's sure as fuck not in Orlando. It's in the basement of this store in Akron, Ohio. And that is why we're talking about the law, folks. We're talking about legalities. I'm excited to announce something. For a long time, we've had a policy here during the global pandemic where come into binge movies, you rent the movie, and then you go about your business. And during that time, my previous co-host, Pat, he died. He's dead. Pat is dead. And it is my theory. It cannot be proven, but it is a theory, because we've had this odor problem for a while. A stink. and it smelled of sulfur, which is, you know, rotten eggs. And there was a droning, very, very low droning. Very low, barely audible, but I heard it. And it kept me up all day, all night, on my mind. I try to go to sleep. I hear it. Yes, I sleep in a video store. Things are tough. And it's crazy. I begin to realize in our children's section, that stink and that wetness, that goo we can't seem to get off the shelves or out of the carpet, that very well may be Pat. The same Pat who wrote me a letter not that long ago saying that he was not tragically killed in a warm goo accident as we tried to move him from the bunker to the video store. No. He said that's what they wanted me to believe because he had discovered, I'm going back to a word here, folks, truth. We're about the truth here, and we're about what's right here, and we're about following the law, and we are about policy. Well, those spectral emissions, that ectoplasmic residue, and that ecto odor has shifted its way into the merchant ivory section of the store. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't give a fuck about merchant ivory films. The general public doesn't either. It's a distribution company that became a genre or subgenre that won a bunch of Oscars, kind of peaked in the 90s. We haven't talked about it since. So I'm perfectly fine if the disembodied spirit of Pat has risen from hell because there is some injustice or unjust whatever. I don't care if he, you know, Matt Dravens himself and becomes the next Crow. He can do it as long as it's in the merchant ivory section and the customers aren't being bothered. I say that, I put that out there because I want you to know because we're changing a policy. You're not going to come in and get your movies and go out anymore and just, you know, live your life. That's not what's going to happen here. The folks at the Not Walt Disney Corporation have realized that many, many young binge lords never experienced the video store era. They were born after the fact. So this just seems like some kind of baby boomer, Gen X, geriatric millennial nostalgia trip. This is just kitsch. This is like going to an old-timey soda shop. But if we're going to get in with the next generation, we got to spice it up. We can't just be about nostalgia and the disembodied spirits of our potentially murdered ex-co-host. It's got to get broader than that. The appeal has got to get bigger. That's why Binge Movies, the video store in sunny tropical Akron, Ohio, is being converted by the Not Walt Disney Corporation into the very next luxury, all-sensory, in-world experience for the Not Walt Disney Corporation. Some places you go to ride rides. Some places you go to experience a roller coaster. Some places you go to ride the movies. Some places, the very frontier of human amusement, the very frontier of human amusement, augmented reality, simulation, and immersive experiences. Binge Movies is going to become a functional, working, multidimensional video store where you not only get to rent the movies, you get to work at the store. You get to become an employee of a fully functional video store in one of the hottest economies in the world, Akron, Ohio. You get to wear the purple t-shirt or the purple polo that says Binge Movies. You get to answer the phones and say, we've got the hits. You get to eat a lean cuisine meal in the staff break room. We do get Panera Breads every other Thursday on the house, all this schmear you can eat. You get to fill up the Folgers crystals and put it into the coffee pot. You get to arrange and rearrange incoming and outgoing Blu-rays, DVDs, VHSs, and Betamaxes. We've got it all. You get to talk about your favorite films. You get to be included in the staff pick section if your picks are popular enough. You get to experience all of this in a condensed, multi-branching, just like the multiverse, storyline where you get to engage with myself, Todd, all of the staff here. It's really kind of amazing. And you get to engage with all of us, and we're going to be giving you clues to solve certain mysteries where you actually get to become part of the plot, part of an ongoing storyline. You get to live the binge movies adventure. Will you decide to try to exercise the spirit of Pat from the Merchant Ivory section? Will you take the path of Exorcist / Video Store Clerk? Will you take the path of Quantum Physicist and decide that you want to work in the basement with Todd as a film archivist / quantum physicist? Will you take the path of the video store manager who is trying to discover and trying to figure out who murdered his co-host? And if there was a murder at all, will you enter into a world of intrigue? And it, you know, Akron, Ohio-based espionage. The possibilities are endless here. Those are the three main storylines. There's a fourth, incredibly mysterious storyline that even I, as of yet, am not privy about. But we're going to be announcing that path, hopefully very soon. Folks, this is why I love working for this company. Because when the chips are down, look, the pandemic, it seems to have turned a corner many places in the world. I know we have listeners all around the world, and so you might be going through it right now, but this pandemic seems to have turned a corner, at least momentarily within the United States, and luck would have it that when people can be with each other, they don't want to watch movies as much, and sales are down, and we're beginning to worry about the money, and we're beginning to worry about income. And we've cut the workers' wages as low as we possibly can. We're down to as minimal of a staff as we could possibly go. We've returned most of our Pier 1 Imports employees back into their natural habitat at now IKEA. We've relocated the rest into forever homes, realizing they can never be released into the wild again. We've done all this, and yet stuff's tight. 2022, not been a good year business-wise for the shop here in Akron. Just going to be honest with you. So we started a Patreon. We're thinking, okay, maybe the show can become more integrated with the store and we could use that. And the Patreon's been a success, but it turns out you can't fund an entire legitimate business on Patreon alone unless you're in Milwaukee. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I call corporate. I call the big brains. I call our Imagineers. And I say, I'm going to need you to imagine some more money for me because this shit is struggling. And this is what they come up with. An immersive augmented reality experience. 3 days, 2 nights, a lunchbox at the end. And you will actually, one of those days, actually be able to port. You'll come in, you'll live, you'll breathe, you'll stay in the store. But one of those days, you'll have a 2-hour excursion into downtown Akron where you will travel by RETA, Regional Transit Authority, which will take you from the shop at K Fabian Avenue, and they'll take you to downtown Akron. And you'll get to live and experience the Jar. You'll get to live and experience the Akron Museum of Art. You'll get to experience the Akron Nightlight. You'll get to experience Akron Coffee Roasters. You'll get to experience everything Akron has to offer, including the Akron Rubber Ducks, the local mid-market, whatever you want to call it, farm team for several major league teams. It is exciting times here at the store. Last thing, speaking of legalities, we've had a policy for the last couple of years that you were not allowed to touch the staff at Binge Movies, and the staff at Binge Movies is not allowed to touch you. But since we are now classified no longer as people, but as characters, and because the pandemic seems to have turned a corner, you're going to be now allowed, as long as it's storyline related, to touch the characters, myself, Todd, the rest of the staff here at Binge Movies, Jeff, whoever the fuck, and the characters are going to be able to touch you. We're going to be touching you in places you never even thought possible, but it's all going to be for the storyline. Trust us on that one. Okay, that's really exciting news. We're going to be raising up a new generation of binge lords in the ways of the home video gods. They will see the truth. The truth will set them free. And it'll only charge $5,000 for the entire experience per person. And your clothes and outfits and for whatever is associated with the storyline of your choosing, you will need to buy those items separate. And we have those available in the Binge Movies gift shop. Speaking of which, I'm working on some new merch for all of our international binge lures. You could buy. You don't even have to come here. You don't got $5,000 to come and have the immersive experience. We'll just sell you the shit online. We'll ship it to your house. Doesn't really matter. We just want your money, folks. Okay. We had maybe one of the most hotly contested last movie standings in the history of the show. But before I get to that, I got to waste a little bit more time. And by doing that, I put it up on Twitter haphazardly. Do you have any questions for me as I record this podcast? And I heard from some of our binge lords, two binge lords in particular. We went from having maybe the most participated in poll in the history of last movie standing to just two binge lords responding. They're great binge lords, though. They're both patrons. Of course, we have binge lord Dan, who is part of his life. He lives as a binge lord the other part of his life. He is a clerk here, so he'll be one of the characters who'll be touching you soon. He asked the question, of course, we talked about the Rambo series with the great Lindsay Washburn. Wash, as I like to call her. I don't know if she likes to be called that. I didn't ask. But I like to call her Wash because it's fun and it makes it feel like collegial. You know, she's a buddy. She's like a film cousin. She's like you found some sort of Swedish cousin living somewhere in the deep heart of the Midwest. And even though you're an Italian boy from another part of the Midwest and you don't look anything alike, your mom swears that she's your second cousin removed on your uncle's aunt's side. But that's what it's like. We went to a rummage sale. We were fishing for VHSs, and mom goes, "Hey, by the way, that's your cousin over there." And I'm like, "That doesn't look anything like me." But there we are. We talked about Rambo. And Dan asked this great question. Why he didn't just come up to me in the break room and ask this, I don't have any idea. Speaking of, Dan, where have you been? You've missed a couple of your shifts, and the bathrooms are deeply, deeply in need of attendance. So next time you come in, if you guys are listening to this, just go ahead and get your ass into work. How about that for a change? Okay. Rambo. How much is Rambo 3 unintentionally an even more biting satire than Dr. Strangelove? This is actually a really good question. Dan will either troll the shit out of me or he will ask good questions. I like it, prefer it when he asks good questions. Because he's got a mind on him. Like, for instance, where is the pine saw? And I say, we don't use that here. We use Gojo because we are Akron all the way. Google it, kids. Rambo 3, how much of it is unintentionally a biting satire? I think it depends on the part of the world you live in, Dan. I'm guessing if you're in Afghanistan, Rambo 3 doesn't read like a biting satire, even unintentionally. I think if it's anything, it's less satire and more of an indictment of the American industrial military complex and American interference in other countries and something the CIA likes to call blowback. because obviously that's the one where the Rambo helps the Taliban and potentially Al Qaeda, and a couple decades later, that kind of bit us in the ass, didn't it? So, you know, the one connection that nobody seemed to make is that there were two movies and abutting episodes, or maybe, yeah, two movies and abutting episodes, or movies close to each other, maybe not abutting, that had 9/11 references in them. And you're like, come on, Jason, do you think that deeply about it? Do I seem like the kind of guy that thinks that deeply about this stuff? Ask yourself that question. Okay, did I answer that, Dan? I don't know. Clean the toilets. Let's see. Jason, maybe another parallel Jason from another universe. I've wondered this for a long time. You know, occasionally I have to talk to myself in this podcast, just because I got to get the shit out there. And I just wonder if sometimes when I'm talking to Jason online, if I'm really just talking to myself. You ever just wonder that? Am I just talking to myself? Is there a purpose of living anymore? I put all these words out here, I put all this entertainment out here, and yeah, we've got patrons, and yeah, people listen to us around the world, and yeah, my life is now being turned into an immersive experience that a giant corporation is going to sell at a premium price, because that's just how hot the fan base is for this podcast. And it's also a way to indoctrinate the next generation in what it means to truly love movies, which cannot be separated from the home video experience. But is that enough? What's my legacy going to be when I die? I had some insightful things to say about some movies that most people don't care about anymore. Is that all I've got? I did some guest appearances, and I helped some ratings on some other podcasts, and some other great guests came on and helped the downloads for this podcast. Is that it? Is that it? Am I just a rapidly deteriorating man in a purple smock trying to get you to rent the latest Blu-ray copy of Death of the Nile because it has better picture quality than what HBO Max streams at? Don't you people understand aspect ratios? Sorry, I'm coming unglued, but that is the existential crisis I get when I talk to Nerd Revert, a.k.a. Jason. Who is the real Nerd Revert? Will he please stand up? Is it you, Jason, or is it me, Jason? Me, Jason, you, Nerd Revert. He asked a Rambo question. He's got like three or four of these, so because these are only two people who participated, I'm going to read most of them. Would Rambo work today, or is Jack Reacher? I assume by Jack Reacher, you mean the TV show? Let's say you did. As close as this generation will get. I don't think it would work today, and here's why. Because my instinct is to say, well, I think First Blood might work. But you'd get so much pushback from, it'd be seen as anti-military. Right? It wouldn't just be seen as anti-war, which I think every human being should be. I don't think anybody should be pro-war. But it wouldn't just be seen as like an indictment of war or an indictment of, you know, the industrial military complex and what it does to human beings and basically the reception of veterans in this country, even by our own VA system, isn't very good. If you've ever had a loved one or yourself who's had to depend on the VA for anything, it's mixed at best what your experience is going to be. So you could put that into a movie. But if then that character then becomes a mass shooter or a domestic terrorist, then it's going to be seen as like, once again, Hollywood liberals are making, you know, God-fearing, God-fearing, country-loving Americans the enemy, right? You hear the takes. You can hear the Ted Cruzes of the world spouting their bullshit. And it would just be a whole fucking thing. And it would honestly be kind of a bad look in many ways. And then on the other side, if you're just wanting to make it, you know, kind of like the sequels, then you're really just making like a nationalistic propaganda piece, which our box office depends too much on foreign markets now. So American produced movies or American finance movies depend too much on international distribution, which is why we've progressively moved away from, you know, white American heroes killing vaguely ethnic people and claiming whatever country it was. I think about like the Red Dawn remake, right? Where it's like, oh, it's like multiple countries, if I remember that right. But you know how we've moved now? It's like, you know, like the one I was pointing to is Marvel. It's like, we just make up a country. And it's like, they're not Russian. They're Sokovian. Right? Like, we just don't want to do it. And especially now at the brink of World War III, we don't really want to be like, well, the Russians are the bad guys. Like, you'll name check China and Russia, but you'll very rarely cast them into a bad light. So it's like, even the John Wick movies, it's like, where are these people from? It's like the Eastern Bloc. And so it's like, we have to go to beige shitty cities in Europe with mostly white people. And we can never be too specific. Even if we're in a particular city, the ethnicity of the people in that city is always a little bit murky and ambiguous. So the idea of like a greased up, jacked up American shirtless going to China and mowing a bunch of people down or anywhere in the world just doesn't really sell. And I think that's part of like the offense, other than the fact that it's a very shitty movie, of the last Rambo. It's like, you know, he's just going to go into Mexico or have a bunch of Mexicans who, of course, are all cartel folks, you know, illegally cross the border and, you know, try to take his, you know, American property. And they try to write themselves out of that with like, yeah, but his stepdaughter is Mexican, so he's not racist. His maid is Mexican. You know, the house mom who he lives with and the daughter he practically raised is Mexican. And it's like, okay, yeah, but he still built death tunnels. And he still used those death tunnels on his, you know, U.S. Patriot doomsday camp to mow down people of color. I think that's like just, it's distasteful. So no, I don't think you could do it today. Is there a story in there that's worth telling? Yes. But I don't think you could do it today. Of the video game adaptations, which is the one that Stanley Kubrick could have made better and how so? I'm going to assume you mean from our 90s video game. This is why I like you, Jason, why I think you probably are me. Because you connect dots. I like it. Of the 90s video game adaptations, which is the one that Stanley Kubrick could have made better and how so? Well, first of all, Stanley Kubrick is doing an adaptation, much like The Shining, which may or may not be coming up in the not-too-distant future. He's going to do whatever the fuck he wants to do. The days of him doing Spartacus, like, that guy did that a couple times, and that was it. He was done for. He was doing his own shit. I mean, even his adaptation of A Clockwork Orange, which is true to the book in many sections, wildly deviates at the end. So I think that he's would just do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. Is it possible? The real question you need to ask yourself, Jason and Binge Lords, is it possible that he would make an adaptation of Super Mario Brothers that is even more divergent from the source material? I don't actually think so. Here's what I think happens. I think if you take Super Mario Brothers, the video game, up to Super Mario World. We're going console only. Back in the day, we called them systems. The Nintendo Entertainment System or the Famicom and the Super Nintendo Entertainment System or the Super Famicom. None of the other peripherals, not the Game Boy, Virtual Boy, none of that. We just take those and we go from Super Mario 1 all the way through, including the Doki Doki Panic reskin for Super Mario 2 because kids in America weren't good enough at video games to play Super Mario Brothers 2 in from Japan, because it's basically just Super Mario Brothers 1, but harder. Which, by the way, like, what a shitty fucking sequel. I'm glad that we got the reskin, even though it doesn't make any sense. And who owns the copyright for Toad, and why hasn't he come back? Or Toad, the frog at the end of Super Mario 2. It's not Toad. It's, what the fuck is his name? Somebody will say. The King, the frog with the bubbles and the vegetables. Okay. Super Mario 3 and Super Mario World, right? You take all of that, and you make a big old Super Mario soup. And then you make Super Mario Brothers the movie, and it turns out to be the nightmare that it is, that it just is a disaster. And then you then have Stanley Kubrick adapt the movie Super Mario Brothers. And I think there's at least a 10% chance that he makes the video game adaptation. You understand what I'm saying? You're following my logic. If we start with the video games, and then we have the movie that we have, and then you give that movie to Stanley Kubrick and say, we want you to adapt this movie, I think there's a 10% chance he accidentally makes a more accurate movie to the original video game than we could possibly imagine. I think he might accidentally make a definitive adaptation, because he would just go in such a wild direction, it would almost 180 itself all the way back around like a snake eating its tail. The real answer to the question is Street Fighter. Because it's mostly Street Fighter 2. I mean, could you imagine, like, Full Metal Jacket Stanley Kubrick making a movie where he who has carte blanche because it's fake countries again? You know, it's fake dictators and fake countries. I mean, you know, we're talking about Full Metal Jacket and Doctor Strangelove, which we're going to get to in a very quick second. And you have that guy. You have that guy. Come on now. The satire that he could have done, the action that he could have done, like, it could go either way. It could be the funniest movie you've ever seen, or it could be one of the most depressing movies you've ever seen. Stanley Kubrick's The World Warrior. Holy shit. Holy shit. That's a movie I want to see. Okay, next from Jason, this will be the final question I answer because it was the final question I was asked. If a lumpy bag of mashed potatoes wasn't in Casablanca, if you don't know what he's talking about, go back and listen to our AFI top five episode because it's going to be exceptionally relevant here in all of 2 seconds. Does your 8.7 rating tick up or down? It doesn't move because I don't think. Because my rating wasn't so much based on my absolute dislike of Humphrey Bogart. Because if you remember what I said on the movie, I think that's Bogart's best role of the work that I've seen. And I've seen, not everything, but I've seen quite a bit. And he's just that presence that's around. He's like John Wayne. He's just in the house. So, and he was in some of my dad's favorite movies. So I don't know. Like, obviously, in a different universe, somebody else could have been that role, and maybe it does get bumped up. I think it's a movie that has a lot of great moments in it. There's something about it. I'm going to use a word that my buddy Richard from the internet, from YouTube, uses, Richard Jackson, where he referred to one of the Rocky movies as being televisual. And it stuck with me ever since we had that conversation, and I hope to talk with Richard again in the not-too-distant future. It's on the books. We'll see if it happens. I'm excited about that episode. So there's something about it that is just very televisual in a way. I know that's like blasphemy. There's something about it that it's a very human story, and it's all this and it's all that. But it's a very good film. But I would tend to lean more towards what Phoenix said, which is, and what some people in the replies to our Twitter poll have responded, where they basically just said, like, yeah, it's a good movie, but it's been done better subsequently. Like, the idea of using war as a backdrop of exploring humanity. And I mean, arguably, like, Kubrick did it better in some of his other films, including Dr. Strangelove. So let's get to the poll. We did put a poll up. The season 6.1 came down to two films and a couple of twists. The films that it came down to were Casablanca and Doctor Strangelove. The twists were delicious. Here's the twist. Whoever wins the poll for Last Movie Standing for season 6.1 has to make their return for Last Movie Standing season 6.2 against, as of yet, a competitor to be named at a later date. The ink is drying, and folks, you've been waiting for this person to return for a gosh long time. So it will be a returning, guest. That's all I'm going to say. It'll be a returning guest. And here's the other twist. The twist of the twist is the competitor not only returns, but the movie doesn't get automatic entree into the vault. It just makes it to the next round. So the winner of this season's Last Movie Standing will compete again, gauntlet style, King's Road style, in the next Last Movie Standing, potentially, because the person who won can choose to defend the film that won them Last Movie Standing, or they could change their mind and defend one of the movies that's on one of their respective lists, either the guest list or short list, whatever they're assigned. So, without much further ado, let me get to this. We've made it already convoluted. Let's get to the point. The point is, with nearly 300 votes, with a margin of just slightly above 10%, 10.4%, and it was close. It was very close. A great many times, the movie that is moving on and the competitor that is moving on to the next stage of our gauntlet is Casablanca, which will be defended potentially by the Iceman, D.W. Lundberg. The Iceman, he came. Can we say the Iceman cameth? I don't know. Do you have kids, Lundberg? I don't know. But the Ice Age has begun. And so what I should scream is, Lundberg! 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 The Lundberg era has begun! The Ice Age has begun here at Binge Movies. The fiery wings of the Phoenix were doused. And all that really means is that Cleveland, Ohio has lost yet another championship. At the final round, it came down to it. It's another Cleveland heartbreak. You got the drive. You got the fumble. You got the shot. And now you've got the dive. Because the number of people, including the aforementioned binge lord Dan, who mentioned to me that the thing that really turned the tide for them was Phoenix admitting on the episode that he was planning on taking a dive. That did not go down well with the binge lords who take this very serious. So I did hear from some people, though. We've got Chris Wyatt. Chris Wyatt says that it should be Strangelove because there are arguably many romantic dramas that are better than Casablanca, which is not a diss, as it is a terrific film, but there is no other film quite like Strangelove. It's utterly original, inspired, and airtight script-wise. And yes, I would agree with him 100%, obviously, because that's the movie I chose. Megan Kearns, who selected this season's winner, Casablanca, said, I think what makes Casablanca so fantastic is that it transcends a mere romance, although love in and of itself is a worthy pursuit for a film, to explore sacrifice, bravery, morality, anti-fascism, camaraderie. It seems straightforward, deceptively so, yet yields complexity. The Lady Juan chimed in and said, Dr. Strangelove is one of a kind, never replicated or duplicated. It has biting satire and a message that grows in importance as we hurtle towards doom. There's that sunny optimism we love from the Lady Juan. Casablanca is beautiful, but would film history be dramatically altered without this one particular movie? We had the Night Owl chimed in and said, wow, what the fuck? Strangelove is great and all, because I think at this point, Strangelove was winning. But have these people watched Casablanca? Yes, we did, Night Owl. We all watched it as part of the Binge Movies Challenge 6.1. And I watched it and I thought Strangelove was better. It's absolutely fucking perfect. It should not be losing. Dear Lord, even film film fans have lost their damn minds. Casablanca is the second best film ever. And then Chris Williams chimed in and said, and the first? The Night Owl said, Citizen Kane. And we've already deleted that one, Night Owl. Thanks for listening. It's gone. Citizen Kane, both Megan and I said, get fucked. Get fucked, Orson Welles, 26-year-old son of a bitch. Heather Sachs chimed in. She said, look, I'm not hashtag film Twitter, merely hashtag a person. Very, very, very funny. But I noted Strangelove. But I voted Strangelove, rather. In a nutshell, both are a reflection of on war and aggression and tools of war, civilians dealing with the machinations of those who don't care about them while trying to retain humanity versus the absolute versus absolute absurdity. And yeah, I would agree. Chris O'Neill said, why can't you have both? Both are game changers among the best examples of American cinema. Somebody's not familiar with the show. Thanks for chiming in. Mackenzie Lambert, Dr. Strangelove is probably hitting too close to home these days, hence why people are voting for the movie with a Nazi occupation. Samantha says, nice, I love the bomb, and it's winning. I like Casablanca quite a lot, but a little overrated generally in my view. Samantha, I couldn't agree more. Ross Alexander, Casablanca remains Hollywood's finest moment. Mike Zilla, I voted Strangelove. It showed that even the most damning scenario has absurdity running through it. But it's so close for me because Casablanca rocks. Richard Edenfield, Casablanca is a film, Strangelove is a message. The message of Dr. Strangelove, you would love the future to have, and the humor with that message. So it's a difficult choice, but I'm going with Casablanca because it also has a message, and it's a better film, I think, on the whole. Richard, I am laying this single-handedly at your feet. On the other hand, I'm laying that Phoenix saying he's going to take a dive. But single-handedly, in my left hand, I'm laying at your feet, Mr. Edenfield. You fucked the future. Now the future is not going to have a biting satire. And speaking of the future, one of the main arguments that Mr. Lundberg had was that the future, or people are going to be too stupid to appreciate this when the vault's eventually going to be opened up. And I would say, Mr. Lundberg, you have misunderstood what the vault is. It's not for human beings. We will not exist in the future. It's for the old ones. When they reclaim what is rightfully theirs, these are the movies that they're going to enjoy. They're just simply trying to preserve human entertainment for themselves because eternity gets mighty, mighty boring when you cannot die. Eon after eon after eon. When you surpass the known and unknown possibilities and probabilities of existence, you got to have something on the tube. But to your point, if people are getting dumber, we need to preserve smarter things, not more simplistic things. And I was hoping Phoenix would make that argument, and he kind of began to touch upon it. He did a good job. Lundberg, of course, did a good job. If I'm scoring the rounds, I scored it 3-1, Phoenix. I thought his return arguments were a little bit stronger. I thought Lundberg's opening argument was maybe the strongest we've ever had in the show as far as an opening argument goes. It was a great round. He really thought it through. He was thinking deeply about it. I think Lundberg had an Achilles heel that should have been seized upon, and here's what it was. He also loves Strangelove. And you could tell. He could not really critique the movie because what do you say about it? Right? There's not very much there to say, well, actually, that movie's not very good. He couldn't do it. And when he tried to do it, he was like, well, the movie's got all this great stuff, right? And he, then he's going to turn and go, well, the movie has all this great stuff, but here's something that really stinks about it. You can't do that. And it was hard because you really can't do that with Casablanca, and you really couldn't do it with Dr. Strangelove. And I think that's, you see it even in the comments of the poll. I think it was very difficult on our competitors. It was definitely very difficult with our participants. and our binge lords and people who actually listen to the show, it was very difficult. This was a tough one. And they're always tough, but this was extra tough. But I was hoping that Phoenix would have seized on that and said, if it's that smart, if it's that sharp, if it's that bright that you fear the future will be too dim to understand it, then that is a 100% guaranteed necessity that we preserve it. We have to preserve it. We have to preserve because it raises the level of the discourse. It raises the level of the people's canon. And by people's canon, we put the movies in as a sacrifice to the gods. It's either us or it's the movies. And trust me, you don't want to be something that they consume. So, I was hoping that argument would be seized upon, and it was not. It left some opportunity on the table. I was going to show up and throw, just take a dive. Bad look from Phoenix. My champion has failed me, and I eat another loss at the hands of a guest. And in my opinion, at the hands of a lesser movie. So now we've got two lesser movies in the people's canon. That's the way it goes around here, though. You have the power. I don't have the power. I don't get to say, because if I had to say, it'd be Rocky in there. And if I had to say, it'd be Dr. Strangelove. But they're not in there. So there's no gimmick here. When we say we're giving you the power to build the canon that you want, not what AFI says, not what all these other groups say, not what the Library of Congress says, but what the listeners and what Film Twitter, what the general public thinks, what are the best movies of all time that should be watched by, pure madness incarnate. That's what this is for. And we're getting there one movie at a time. But this year, we're going to get there one round at a time. So, Mr. Lundberg, you will return in No Holds Barred Movie Elimination Combat. You will stand toe-to-toe. And now you, as with all of our listeners, will have to be prepared to change your mind. Are you going to continue defending Casablanca, or will you defend a movie that's going to appear in the very next season, season 6.2? Brother, the choice is yours. Will the Ice Age continue, or is there a new era about to dawn? We will find out at the end of next season. Coming up on the podcast before we get to season 6.2, I've got a couple of sponsored episodes that I got to get out to the masses. People went to bingemovies.podbean.com, hit the sponsor a episode. We've got two rankings episodes coming your way with some pretty great guests. I'm excited about that. And I've got a bunch of bonus content that's going to be coming out in the not too distant future over on Patreon. We've got some exclusive shows that are going to start making their way to finally premiering over there. Exciting stuff. We have a Binge Movies Presents live stream. We're going to watch a movie together. That's going to happen over exclusively on the Patreon, patreon.com/bingemovies. So patrons, I'm excited for you. Keep checking this main feed as the sponsored episodes will hit the main feed. Some instant reactions are going to be coming your way in the month of April. And before you know it, season 6.2 will be right around the corner. So I thank you for everybody who has truly jumped on the Patreon and helped support the show. It truly keeps the show going and helps us improve. I appreciate everybody who commented on the poll, even if I staunchly disagree with you. Comments and engagement was through the roof for this season and on the episodes as well. And let's keep it going in season 6.2. I'm going to thank all of my guests. They were all great. We had some technical snafus on the Brian Skittle episode. It was nobody's fault. It just was something after the fact. We had some technical snafus at Last Movie Standing. We were able to get those episodes out there because I still think that they're worth it. And I wanted to honor the time-consuming nature of being a guest of the show. So I want to thank Megan Kearns. I want to thank Lindsay Washburn. I want to thank Brian Skittle. I want to thank Matt F. Basler. I want to thank Phoenix. And I want to thank Mr. D.W. Lundberg, our reigning and defending Last Movie Standing champion. Can you believe it? It's going to be some returning folks next season and some brand new people making their Binge Movies debut What movies will we select for the short list and the guest list that Mr. Lundberg will have to contend with? You're just going to have to find out next season on Binge Movies Season 6.2. So coming to you for the last video store in the universe. And now, a alternate reality, augmented reality, immersive experience being made available to the world's ultra-wealthy and mentally deranged, where you not only get to watch movies, you get to stock the shelves with movies in sunny tropical Akron, Ohio. It is Binge Movies, and until next time, binge on. We'll be right back.